Hallelujah. Yeah, I keep thinking about people who don't know Christ because I think their favorite song is, I can't get no satisfaction. But I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried, but I can't get no. Come on. You know, you have to, you got 80-year-old people sitting there singing that, you know, in the... You know, if they don't got it by now, they ain't going to get no satisfaction. So I'm glad we don't have to try and try and try. We can just receive because God is the satisfier. Come on. You know, I don't know about you. I'd always like to be a party animal, and the best party in the town is a Holy Ghost party. There's no sad Holy Ghost. And while I was sitting there, God told me he wanted to heal sinuses and allergies. So right now, Father, I just release your healing virtue to everyone that is suffering from either sinus attack or allergies. And not only that you heal them, but they'll never return in Jesus' name. We curse those things at their root in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you to clear it up so we actually can enjoy the spring. And also clear the atmosphere so they don't have to be boating outside all the time. They can go boating in their boats instead of down the road in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, we're going to have some fun tonight. Come on. You know. So I'm just going to just let go, and I don't know about you, but come on, let go, let God. But I'm going to preach tonight. It's amazing how sometimes, you know, a phrase will go through you, and, you know, God will bring you back to something. And he brought me back to when my son was applying for colleges, and you know, they asked them, they said, what two words best describe you? And I was, you know, I'm sure they were thinking some character things or, you know, adventurous and stuff like that. But his two words, he said, my entire life is based on the words, what if? And I'm here to say, I believe that's the thing we need to live by, what if? If this is true, what if? If this is true, what if? Once we stop the what if, we stop discovery. Come on now. And how many of you understand, once you stop growing, once you stop learning, once you stop teachable, then literally you are stuck for the rest of your life where you are. You know, my greatest concern with America is, in a study it shows that most people who graduate from college never ever read a book after that. That's sad. You know? There are times I had 1 week I read 10 books in 1 week, and I preached 7 times. And people say, I'm always reading because I'm thirsting to know. And now most of the stuff I read is by anointed people. Or their principles that even if the people didn't know God, they're godly principles. Come on now. But what if? And here what I want to get into tonight is, what if we actually believed? What if we were believing believers? Come on now. And I began to look at this, and God began to challenge me. What if we honestly would act like we believe the Bible was true? Because, Romans 8:31 says, what if we actually believe that God is for us, and if God be for us, who can be against us? What if we believe that? What if we believe God was on our side? What if we believe that no weapon formed against us would prosper? What if we believe that we could not fail? What would we attempt? If we honestly believed what we say we believe. Come on now. You know, so many times it's easy to stay in the boat when Jesus is on the water. It's easy to talk faith in the ditch and never face a giant. I mean, I'm sitting here, and I heard God begin to say, I need people who actually believe for the mountains in this area to be moved. Because honestly, there are spiritual strongholds that have been here for years, and churches get to a certain point, and they hit that stronghold, and they split. Come on now. And to be honest with you, you almost accept it because you don't really believe. Come on. We're going to attack some stuff tonight. We're going to attack some unbelief tonight. Amen. You know, what if we honestly believe that all things are possible to him that believes? You know, one of the things I love working with youth, I love working with, you know, even children, because honestly, they don't know that it doesn't work. I'd rather be around an idealist than a realist, because a realist calls things that are as though they are. An idealist at least can change some things. Come on. Because I honestly believe only the idealist can see the new thing God's doing. Because the realist is stuck in this reality. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? And God is changing this nation. Come on. And he's actually bringing us back to our foundation, but he's not bringing us back to the 60s and 70s. He's actually bringing us back to the foundation, but a current time. Come on now. And I believe that we're going to see revival, and we're going to see a move of God, and we're going to see literally multitudes. I actually believe in this generation of young people. I do. You know, everyone talks about how bad they are. They're only bad because they're not focused. And be honest, the reason why they're not focused is they've been trained by their parents. Come on now. That's the way they are. Come on. You know, I don't know about you. I am ready to go begin to when God starts moving, he starts in the impossible. Come on. He never asks you to do and believe what's possible. He asks you to believe what's impossible. Whose report will you believe? Well, the doctors will tell you that this is not possible because they're tied to natural truth. I'm grateful. I'll agree with a doctor if he said, you're going to get better. I agree with him. Come on now. If they say, we can help you, I agree with him. It's when he says, honestly, there's nothing left to be done. I don't believe in him. Because I got a different report. Yeah, they may be good physicians, but I got a great one. Come on now. And his report says I'm healed. I'm saying, what do you believe in today? What? Because you're honestly, what you believe in is what you're receiving. And we have got to attack our religious thinking. We're going to have to actually attack our track record, because it's never based on our track record. You know, I'm becoming more childlike, sometimes childish, than ever before. But I'm going to have fun. Because what I found out is little kids have joy. You know, I've been around adults. Man, they're sad, 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 sad. You know, grumpy old men. Hey, grumpy old woman, too. Come on. Yeah, you know. You know, once you get old, you get grumpy. And God never intended us. We may get old on the outside, but we stay young on the inside. As long as you have that childlikeness, there's that discovery always going on. You know? It's like it's kind of like my stepmom, who decided at age 80 to take up skydiving. You know? I remember my parent, my brother called me up and said, you're going to have to tell mom not to do it. My stepsister, you got to tell mom not to do it. My stepbrother, tell mom not to do it. No one told me what it was. So I call her up. She said, you can't talk me out of it. I said, you're right. Don't know what it is. And she is her 80th birthday. And she said, I'm going to jump out of a plane. I said, with a parachute? She said, yes, dummy. I said, okay, that's all right. You know, I said, why do you want, I said, it's dangerous. She said, at my age, come on now, getting out of bed is dangerous. I said, aren't you afraid of dying? She said, no, I'm afraid of not living. Come on. I get around people, they're dead, even though they're still breathing. You know, because they're looking behind instead of looking forward. The question is, what do you believe in? Because that's what you're going to see. Do you believe God to reveal more to you? Do you believe there's more? Do you believe that honestly, you know, you may not have the energy you once did, but guess what? You have more wisdom than you did. Are you still growing, at least in areas of your life? Are you still hungry to know more? Because honestly, we need to know him more, but we also need to know what he wants to show us. Does this make sense? See, what if we believed there was really no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus? What would happen if the enemy tried to, if we really believed that every time the enemy would try to condemn us, we say, no way. No way. I've been justified. I've already been judged by God. God's the one who's justified. Who can condemn me? Come on now. I mean, what would happen if we honestly believed that that people couldn't condemn us and we couldn't even condemn ourselves? That we are justified, that we are free, that we are literally, we don't have to live in the light of the past, which is darkness. You know, if we would actually open the window eastward and embrace the resurrected light, because the sun rises in the east and the sun sets in the west, and too many times we're looking out the wrong window. We're looking at things that are dying instead of embracing the new day God has for us. Come on now. I mean, there's nothing wrong with understanding the changing of seasons, but every season has sunrises. Come on now. And there's a light in that. Does this make sense? What if, you know, we honestly believe by his stripes we were healed? What if we honestly believe that he took our sickness and disease? I mean, what would we act like? See, I found out if you're not acting like it, you don't believe it. Several years ago, I was in a situation. I went to the doctor. I had broken my foot. And the doctors, they took all sorts of x-rays on me because I had a general physical. He said, well, guess what? You need a knee surgery, you need a back surgery, and you need a foot surgery. That was a mess. Lord, heal me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. That might cover it. You know? Need a general overhaul. And I actually, for several months, I would preach sitting down. You know, now that's actually the way a lot of preachers do it. But yeah, but I hated it. When I would travel, I'd have to get a wheelchair for them to push me through the airport because I couldn't walk to gates. And, you know, here, I'm the faith preacher. And then God would have me preach on healing. And he wouldn't even let me have the surgeries. I go to the guy, I say, God, do you want me to have the surgeries? Because if he says have a surgery, I don't care how God heals me. If he wants to use the doctor, that's fine, but I want to make sure it's by faith. Yes. Come on now. So I was in a situation, he said, no. And I was getting real frustrated. I said, Lord, I want my life back. And he said, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, I want to go back and I want to start running again. I want to start doing this again. I want to start doing that again. And the Lord said, do it. I said, do what? He said, act like my word's true. So I did call the doctor. I'm not stupid. I said, what's the worst thing that would happen if I started doing these movements and trying to make this thing? And he said, you'll need surgery. So I said, I can't do any permanent damage. He said, no, you probably can't do any permanent damage. You need surgery anyway. And I thought, how dumb have I been? So I started getting up and taking the steps I could take. And guess what? God kept meeting me. And next thing you know, I'm running. Everything I know, you know. And I had to get my faith going. Yeah, I figured I'm going to act on God's word. And then God probably let me have the surgery because obviously I'll need it if it doesn't work. Come on, you know. But at least I'm going to act like by his stripes I'm healed. And I'm asking him, why don't we start acting on the word? Why don't we, and don't do something stupid. I'm not asking you to do things that medically are dumb. I mean, I've had people go to my services that I prayed for my dad, and he was on insulin. He was a diabetic for 30 years. I prayed for him, and, you know, I've sensed the power of God. The next morning, he took his shot, and he had a major reaction. In fact, he called me up because I had left town. He said, I'm worse than I ever have been. So he went to the doctor, and the doctor basically looked at him and said, you had a reaction to the insulin. You don't need it anymore. So, you know, he was insulin free. You know, I believe, honestly, many of us, if we would believe, we'd get free. Come on now. I'm asking you, why don't you get into the what if category again? Why don't we start getting a little, you know, begin to live life, take new territories, look at new things, stretch a little bit. Come on now. Hey, enjoy life. You know, don't let life happen to you. Go enjoy it to the fullest. Don't just exist, live. Come on. I mean, you know, what if when we gave financially, we expected to receive a harvest? I mean, what were we, you know? People throw their seed instead of sow it. And some of it may still work, but a lot of it doesn't because it's not focused. What if we honestly had God as our source? I love what it says, and we'll get into this a little bit tomorrow night. I shouldn't say that because, it's funny. You talk about finances, and people, I'm not coming. You know, two things kill more churches than anything else, cirrhosis of the giver and staph infection. You know, but the bottom line is, you know, if every time you give, you think subtraction, then you don't believe. Because honestly, what God, every time Jesus taught on giving, he was teaching on receiving. Because it's the kingdom way. There's a trust fund. If you trust it, he'll fund it. Well, if we honestly believe that the kingdom, that the windows of heaven are open when we tithe, that God can pour out a blessing we can't contain. Because I believe God wants to stretch us in every area, but it actually begins in that area. You can't serve God in money. You can't. I love it. You would think it would say you can't serve God and the devil. It doesn't say that. Because many of us as Christians, well, I'm going to serve the devil. But guess what? Money? Oh, that's different. You know, come on. Let's move on so we can get happy. No. You know, givers are always happy when they're giving. I mean, the only thing I don't like being is manipulated. You know, the moment I hear someone start manipulating me, I pull back. But, you know, I've learned that, you know, if we would actually believe God for a harvest, every time I plant a seed, I name my harvest. I name it. Come on. You know, we planted seeds for years for my son to graduate debt-free. You know that his college education, had we paid for it, would have cost $350,000. Because it's the most expensive school in America that he graduated from now. You know, tuition's $55,000 a year. That's not room and board. And when he graduated totally debt-free, 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 debt-free. Totally debt-free. You know something? We knew we couldn't afford it. But we knew we had seed. So we started planting the seed. And you know something? When they gave him the type of scholarships they gave him and the rest we were able to afford. But I believe we didn't plant the seed. Come on. See, God's looking for faith. Seed faith, come on. He just wants, says, if you trust me, I'm going to fund it. Come on. And he'll stretch us. If he doesn't stretch us at times, we don't grow. Come on, does this make sense? What if we honestly believed the power of sin was broken? What if we believed sin had no dominion over us? I mean, honestly believed that we didn't have to sin. Come on. Because I'm on some, most believers, I just can't help it. You know? You know, we are so used to what our flesh being weak and all that, and it is. But the Spirit's willing, my flesh is weak. We make excuses instead of believe what God said. Come on now. See, one of the things that I believe is even when you're in bondage, you confess your freedom. Come on. And sometimes it's progressive. You take two steps forward, one back, but don't stop going. Don't stop believing. It will not have dominion over you. You're going to win. He's already given you the victory. It's a done deal. Come on now. You're going to have the freedom you were promised. Everything God said, all His promises. Well, what if we believed all His promises were yes and amen? Many of us would actually read them. You know? I mean, it amazes me because, you know, we're in a situation that, you know, I've been, you know, when my wife's mom's getting older and my wife's the executor of the will, guess what? Like I said the other day, we know her will inside and out. We know exactly what her will says. You know why? Because we're named in it. Come on now. And guess what? She wants us to have our certain stuff. We want to have the stuff she wants us to have. God wanted you to have certain stuff, and yet we don't want it. Come on now. You know, I mean, there's a lot more God's willed us than we've received. Come on. Am I helping you? What if, man? What if? What if we honestly believe the joy of the Lord is our strength? What if we honestly believe rejoice evermore? It's the will of God. Come on. What if we honestly believe where it says pray about everything, worry about nothing? You know, I'm asking myself this because I know I believe on one level. I sometimes get it right. But I need to live by every word, every word, every word, every word. Come on, I need to live by. What if we believe the prophecies made over us and fought a good fight concerning them? And decided that we're not going to lose. We're going to have everything God wants us to have. Years ago, when I was in Pennsylvania, it's a church I work with very closely, and I prophesied over these two little boys. And I talk about this often, but I see this young man now two or three times a year. And when I prophesied, the older boy was 5 years old, and little Samuel was two at the time. And I prophesied, it was such a cute little prophecy. I said, I see you growing old together. I said, you're going to be so close. You're going to be you're going to grow old together, and you're going to all be super close brothers all the days of your life. 1 month later, little Samuel was diagnosed with a very rare form of childhood cancer. And the doctors basically told the parents, we're going to do experimental stuff, but there's not much hope he's going to make it. And you think about this. For 5 years, they would take him to Pittsburgh, cancer treatment, and they would drain little Samuel's body of all blood, keep him alive artificially, put new blood in him each time they say he was going to die. And the parents said that we held on to the word, but we also held on to the prophecy. He said, it was a picture we had to see. He said, when you prophesied, I saw them growing old together. And for 5 years, he went down to Florida on Make-A-Wish Foundation because they figured, well, it may be over any moment, so let's satisfy his dying wish. Is what, you know, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, because medically he definitely qualified. But, you know, today Samuel is playing soccer and football, and it's been about the first 5 years it didn't look good. Then one day they took his blood, because they would always take the blood before they would drain the blood. And when they took the blood, it came back normal. And the doctor said, that can't be right, but it's bring him in next month. And they would every month he would have, and each time it kept back normal, normal, normal. And he's been written up in the Harvard Medical Book Journal. And they use some experimental things on them, but the experimental things have never worked on anybody else. That's the word. See, without faith, we don't see miracles. Without faith. And people say, well, what happens if I believe and it doesn't happen? You're still better off believing. Come on now. Because there's at least a little hope if you're believing. Because when you're believing, things hope for. Come on now. The moment you stop believing, there's no hope. Come on. Does this make sense? What if we actually believed? What if we believe God freely gives us all things? If he gave us his son, what if we believe he actually gave us the kingdom? Come on. What I'm saying is God wants to activate our faith. He wants to challenge you to be a believing believer. In spite of the circumstances you see. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. See, if we're going to be a believer, we're going to actually going to have to deny that what we see is permanent. The moment you declare what you see is permanent, it is. Come on. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just saying it's not permanent. When the doctor said little Samuel had cancer, guess what? He did in his body. And his parents didn't say, well, we're denying the cancer's there. They're just saying, we're denying it's going to stay there. Come on now, because we got the report of the Lord. Come on now. And I'm going to be honest with you, any area you've given up your faith in is an area you've given the place to the devil, and that's a place where you will fall short of your inheritance. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? We got to fight the fight of faith. And it's fun. It's fun. You know what's fun today? It's fun when I go to that church and little Samuel gives me a big hug, runs up, gives me a big hug, and I remember, come on now. And many times the parents said, you know, you helped us so much. I said, no, you were in the front lines. Because I give words over people all the time, and they don't believe them. And because they don't believe them, they don't come to pass. Come on. And guess what? God does the same thing. He gives us promises. And yet we blame God. Why aren't you watching over your word to perform it? He said, why aren't you believing it so I can perform it? Come on now. Don't blame me for your unbelief. Come on now. You know, it is good preaching. Thank you very much. See, what if we sought first the kingdom and his righteousness? I mean, all these things would find us. It would find us, you know. I mean, don't chase things. Let things chase you. Come on. Everything you need will chase you down. It will chase you down. It will chase you down. It will show up at just the right time. Come on now. You know, when it looks like there is no way, God will find a way. Because when you seek first his kingdom, come on. I don't know how he's going to do it. Every time I think he's going to do it one way, he does it another. You know, he usually will basically remove every crutch I'm trusting in. So I have to trust in him. I don't know how many times my biggest givers have gone. Sometimes it wasn't, you know, they weren't in rebellion. Sometimes God led them in a different direction. Sometimes they were in rebellion. But the bottom line is God said, you can't trust them. Be thankful. You got to trust me. I'm your source. And guess what? You know, if you'll trust God, he'll bring in someone different. Come on. One door closes, and next thing you know, if you're trusting God, he opens up another one. Come on now. See, what the enemy means to destroy you, God works and promotes you. Come on now. You can't be stopped. If you're believing, you can't be stopped. Come on now. It's not over until God says it is. Does this make sense? What if we honestly believed that if his word abided in us and we abided in him, we could ask whatever we want? What if we believe if we honestly ask anything according to his will, he actually heard us and we had it? What if we believed when we prayed we got it? I know when people are believing, when they pray, because guess what? They come out happy. If they don't come out happy after they prayed, They may have been in the closet, but they were the only one there. Come on, the light never got turned on, baby. You know? You know what I'm saying? Because honestly, when I pray, I expect, you know? It's like my son will always say, he said, Daddy, I always expect to see what no one else can see in my realm. And guess what? He said, it works. It works. Because they're always asking, I said, why are you always moving forward? He said, because I'm actually looking forward. I'm asking you, what if we'd look forward? If you look backwards, you're not fit for the kingdom. Which tells me, if you're not asking what if, your chances are you're living back. Because instead of making history, you are history. And there's nothing wrong with studying history, because history repeats itself, but it repeats itself in cycles, and it actually becomes current. So you have to have new knowledge added to the old knowledge to make it work. Come on now. So we need to know. Just like, you know, you need to draw from the old and the new. If you're going to be a new wineskin, you actually know how, you have to learn how to draw from both. Come on now. You know, you have to have the track record, the good track record with God. Remember all the victories and how he did it before. But understand that you still have to inquire him, because if you try to do it like you did before, it may not work like it did before, because it's a different hour. And, God doesn't want us living by formula. He wants us living off a relationship. Come on now. Amen. Because I mean, there are times I'll be doing something. I say, God, this has always worked. He said, I want to show you something else. Come on. What if we believe he's not withholding any good thing from us? You know? What if we believe that God really is for us? What if we believe that all things are ours? What if we honestly believe that he would supply all our need according to his riches and glory? What would happen if the believers believed? Then we'd see glory. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. The glory of God. See, everyone will say, I'm going back. God, we're going to have a glorious church. I said, first of all, we're going to have a believing church. Because without believing, we can't see the glory. Come on. Am I helping you yet? See, this thing's always going on in me. Because what if we believe we could actually cast all our cares, not just some of them, on the Lord? I mean, how many of you have done things? You cast on the Lord and you take it right back. You go to church and say, ha, 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 yeah, I got it. As soon as you get out in the parking lot, I lost it. You know, I'm healed, I'm sick, I'm healed, I'm in, make up your mind. Yeah. Make up your mind. Double-minded man can't receive anything. Come on now. Cast all your cares. I don't know how many times my wife would say, she'd get upset I wasn't worried. He said, what are you going to do about this? Nothing. You know, it's kind of like what Jesse DePlante said. He came home one time and all these bills came in. And his secretary came to him and said, Jesse, we don't have the money right now to pay these bills. That must have been years ago. He said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to tell Jesus he's got mail. Jesus, you got mail. I mean, I remember one time I was in my office, and I had the same type of revelation. Because I'm sitting there laughing, throwing bills up and down. And my wife said, what are you doing? I said, well, I paid these two bills. I said, the rest of them, these are yours, God. And, you know, it worked. The money came in. Come on. You know, when we don't worry about things and put it in God's hands, he knows how to take care of us. Come on. What if we honestly believe God wants to bless us and make us a blessing? You know, what if we believe that God's not a man he should lie, nor a son of man he should repent? If, you know, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm going to do one last thing. I always do it, you know. I can't preach anywhere without talking outreach, and I'm going to talk it for a few minutes. That's who I am. Because, you know, I want to reach people. I want to reach people. I want to see this community reached. So I'm going to give you a dare, and I want you to believe the dare. See if you'll accept it. Number one, many people have heard me preach it. I don't care. I'm going to keep saying it until you get it. I dare you to stare. In John 4:34, or 30, I think verse maybe 35, it says, don't say, you know, it basically said, don't say 4 months, then comes the harvest. Lift up your eyes. Field's already ripe. Now, it's saying you're not going to see someone else's harvest, but God will show you yours. And if you're not seeing a harvest field, you're not looking. You know why most people don't stare? Is they don't want to hurt. Because I found out most of the harvest is where pain, people are in pain. Sometimes they're angry. Sometimes they're bitter. Sometimes they're like wounded animals. And what you see on the outside, it's not, God wants to reach them. Because many of us were that way when he found us. But I dare you to stare. One of the greatest problems in the church is we don't care if people are going to hell. We're nice people. And when God doesn't want you just to be nice, he wants you to be world changers. He wants you to be impactful people, not just nice. So I dare you to stare, then I dare you to care. Because be honest with you, if you don't care, you're not anointable. One of the things I always fight against is that religious thing that tries to come on me. Because I understand that the parable of the Good Samaritan, because I many times I feel like the priest on the way to preach who doesn't care. I'm so busy playing church, I'm not the church. Come on. I might ask God to give you a burden, at least for some people. Maybe not for everybody, but for someone. Because honestly, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because there's people in prison. Because there are people that are hurting. One of the things that bothers me is a lot of the church world doesn't care about what God cares about. He loves the lost. We want to judge them. They're already under judgment. They don't need to be condemned. That's why they're acting the way they are. They don't know a way out. We're called to declare liberty to them, freedom to them. We tell them good news, that God's not angry at them. Jesus already paid for their sins, and honestly, all they have to do is receive him. Come on. To tell them that God wants to restore vision in their life. Where they give them divine purpose and wake them up. I dare you to stare and I dare you to care. Then I dare you to prayer. Because honestly, if we don't care, our prayer means nothing. It's the heartfelt prayer of a righteous man. It's a heartfelt prayer. I remember years ago when I said, God, when he showed me the school systems in Tulsa, and I said, God, give me the kids nobody else wants. Give me the ones that they say are incorrectable, incorrigible. Give me the ones the system has written off. And God did that for me. Nobody else probably wanted them. Probably no one else ever prayed that prayer. You know, I have a church in Ohio I'll be with the next time I preach, first weekend in June. And they are known as the misfit church. They have everybody in their church that no one else wants. In fact, there are people that go to other churches, and when the pastors and the people see them, because they've been drug addicts, they've had, you know, sex offenses, they've had all sorts of things, they'll tell them, they say, you don't fit here. But you'll fit at that place. They'll take anybody. Come on now. You hear what I'm saying? And that's what the kingdom does. It takes anybody. you know, and it takes us and cleans us up. Come on, changes us. Amen. And then, you know, we go from being the misfit to someone that helps misfits. Come on now, where God gets us made whole and the same mercy and grace he showed us. So when you pray, you begin to really say, God, you put yourself in someone else's shoes. I've prayed for people, and I remember I prayed the word and came out of my office, and the Lord said, when are you going to pray? Well, they asked me for prayer. I prayed. I said, what do you mean? He said, if that was you in that situation or if that was your child, how would you have prayed? I said, I would have used the exact same wording, but I would have been desperate. He said, go back and do it right. Come on. I'm going to tell you something. Don't get religious in your prayer. Don't get religious. I dare you to stare. I dare you to care. I dare you to pray. Then I dare you to prepare. Because one of the reasons I believe we don't share the gospel is we're not prepared. We don't have any answers. Come on. You know, I remember going to school, and when I was prepared, when the teacher would ask, you know, any question, I'd be the first one with my hand up. Why? I knew the answer, baby. But there were moments when I came in, I didn't do my assignment, I didn't read things, come on. And you're trying to hide behind your desk. Just don't call on me. Just don't call on me. Just whatever you do, don't ask me a question. Come on. Well, half the church world, I also believe we're ashamed because we haven't studied to show ourselves approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Come on. You know, then this is the answer book to everyone's problems. Come on. And the more we're in it, the more we can do it. I remember years ago, Colin Powell, you know, made a statement that just went right through me. It was during the war, and he said, you know, the willingness to win means nothing. Everybody wants to win. But the willingness to prepare to win means everything. Come on now. See, preparation reveals your expectation. If you expect to be used by God, then you're going to be prepared. Come on now. And that's what I want to do. I always want to be prepared to give an answer for the hope I have. Come on. I don't know about you, but that's, you know, I'm staring, I'm caring, I'm praying, I'm preparing. And then I dare you to declare. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm going to share my faith, and if I need to, I'll say something. No. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. You know, everywhere I go, I speak good news. I don't condemn people. In fact, sinners love me more than the church does. Why? Because some sinners are a lot more fun than the church. Come on now. A lot of times I'll go places and people say, you can't be a preacher. I say, why? Because you're funny and you're fun. They say, we've never met a fun preacher before. Come on. Well, you have a fun preacher. Well, see, when you're believing, you're a fun preacher. When you're not religious, you're a fun preacher. And when you genuinely care about people, and guess what? I'm not shocked by their sin. So I don't act like they have cooties. Don't contaminate me. Come on now. You know, the church doesn't grow because we're hiding in a hole. God said, go into all the world, and we're staying. Come on. Two-thirds of God's name is go. And every one of us, you may not be able to go around the world, but you can go next door. We always get around people. I'm always looking for needs. I'm always looking for openings. I'm always looking for how to bless people, how to lift people. Because there's always a way. You know, I am contagious, by the way. You know, I go in the bank and they say, we love to see you coming. You know, there are a lot of people they hate to see coming. Come on now. Well, I mean, when we go to the restaurants, I go to the same restaurants over and over and over again. And guess what? They fight for who's going to wait on us. Come on now. Because part of the reason I'm going there is to bless the people that serve me. And they know it. And they're not used to be treated with that type of respect. Come on now. You know, I love it when I see a successful person who still treats people well. Come on now. I love it when they're not high-minded. I love it when they don't talk down to people. I don't like preachers talking down to people. There's so many preachers act like they have their act together, and that's all it is an act. Come on. You show me someone too good to be true. They always are. You know, I tell people, I say, hey, what you see is what you get. You know? I'm a mess that's come of age, so I'm a message. Come on now. It's too late. It's just too late to change much of this thing right now. Hallelujah. But I'm asking you, you know, silence is not golden. Sometimes it's yellow. Sometimes we got to get rid of the chicken spirit in the church. And, you know, I've learned, you know, I used to go out and witness to everybody. And it didn't work for me. Now I go and I look and God puts someone on me. He shows me somebody. You know, he'll show me things that I remember I was in the airport several years ago. And I hate airports when I'm delayed. And we had a 6-hour layover. You know, one plane wasn't working, and at least it was going to leave that night. But I'm sitting there in the Atlanta airport after like a 3-week ministry trip, and I'm bored, I'm exhausted, but I can't sleep. And I'm sitting there in a chair, and all of us, I'm bored, so I'm listening to everyone's conversation. How many of you listen to everyone's? I do. I go into a restaurant, and I'm listening, and I have these ears, I can hear everything. And honestly, there are times I'm bored with my conversation on my table, so I want to go to their table. Come on now. Have you ever heard something? And you want to jump right in the middle of it, you know, hey. You know, there are times when my wife gets appalled because I'll go sit down with people I don't know. And you say, hey, yo. You know, she's not comfortable with that, but, you know. But I'm listening to these conversations. You know, I love traveling with my son because a lot of times you go to the airport, everyone's talking foreign languages. Well, he understands them. So he can listen to everyone's conversation. I mean, he'll listen to someone, all of a sudden he'll start laughing. I mean, one time this Mandarin Chinese couple was there, and they told something. Joey, that was funny, Daddy. And then, right after that, they laughed. And I say, well, what did they say? He said, you're a preacher. I can't tell you. But it was funny. Come on, you. So, you know. But I'm sitting there in the airport, and I'm bored. I said, God, I need some entertainment. Well, I got it. There's this little 2-year-old boy. And he's running up and down. Have you ever watched a little kid that has so much sugar? Come on now. I mean, and the mom was totally overmatched. If there was a do not enter sign, the kid went through it. If there was a button to be punched, he was punching it. He was grabbing people's hair. I mean, literally, everybody hated him, but he was entertaining to me. And there was a love God put in my heart. I thought, whoa, I like this kid. And, you know, I was going to go over and ask the mom if I could play with him. I was so bored. You know, hey, you have to convince them I'm not some type of weirdo. But I really had a love for this kid. And, you know, and I was about ready to ask the mom, and then they call us to board the plane. And I'm normally the first one on the plane because of my mileage. So I even though I don't fly first class, a lot of times I go on with first class. So I got in there, got in my little seat, and it was a full plane. Everybody was on the plane. I kept saying, Lord, you never show me somebody like that unless you really want me to touch their lives. And I was wondering, I said, what's going on? And all of a sudden, the last people on the plane was the mom and Johnny Angel. The little 2-year-old, she's carrying them, and you can hear the people praying. Even though they weren't saved, they were praying. Not me, Lord, not me, Lord, not me, Lord, not me. Please, please, please. And there's only one seat open. It's right next to me. So sure enough, you know, she comes, and it's so funny, she comes up to me, and she's apologizing. I have to sit somewhere. She said, I'm so sorry, but we have to sit here. I said, no, it's okay. She said, okay. So she sits down, and she's exhausted. You could tell she's just had one of those days. You know, if you've ever been a parent, and your kid is not compliant. I mean, my wife said, you know, Joey was wonderful almost all his travel, but he had one time when he left the plane, the whole plane stood up and gave him a standing ovation. He was leaving. You know, I mean, she said it was awful. And, it's, you know, I mean, sometimes the kid has earaches and, they, you know, they're screaming the entire. And this kid sits down. She sits down. She has the kid. He starts pulling the hair of the person in front. He looks over, grabs my mustache. And, you know, I'm looking, and I love this kid. I honestly do. I don't know why. It had to be God. And, you know, she's taking off, and the kid's squirming. And I looked over at her. I said, do you mind if I hold him? She said, you want to hold him? I said, yes. She said, he could hurt you, you know. I said, it's going to be fine. He said, well, it's your life. That's what she said. And she hands him over. You know, she was so happy to get rid of him. She handed him over. And the moment she handed him, she pretended she was asleep. I know, you know, it's like, I don't want him back, man. You ask for it, you know. And sure enough, when I first got him, he's squirming everywhere. And I start tickling him because I figure if you're going to get the energy, you might as well make it positive. I'm having fun playing with him. Next thing you know, the anointing kicked in. And the kid just calms right down. And, you know, he was awake the entire time. He has head on my shoulder. And, you know, I'm just enjoying the kid the whole time. Mom's sleeping. That's pretty good. I guess she was sleeping or pretending. But when we're about ready to land, they announced that we're going to land, and they had to wake her up. And she saw me with the kid on the shoulder with the head. And the kid's smiling. And the first thing she says, what do you do for a living? I knew she thought I was a psychiatrist and that I had given him some drugs and she wanted to get those drugs, you know. I said, I'm a preacher. She said, how did you do that? I said, do what? She said, he doesn't like people. He doesn't like me. He said, he doesn't like people. I said, well, he likes me. He said, why? How did it come he likes you? Well, that's like a fish jumping in the boat. I said, it's because of the anointing. She said, it's because of the anointing. I said, no, that's what happens when there is no anointing. She said, what is the anointing? And she said, can I get the anointing? I said, yeah, you can get the anointing, but the only way you can get the anointing is if you receive the anointed one. Because Christ, Jesus Christ, the word Christ means the anointed one. And when you invite him into your heart, you actually receive the anointing. So she said, may I? I said, yes, you may. Well, I led her in a prayer, and she prayed loud enough for the entire plane to know what was going on. And, you know, I'm still holding him. Well, we're circling because they're, you know, basically we're in a holding pattern. So I looked over at her. I said, you want more anointing? She said, what do you mean? I said, now you got a well in you, but you can have rivers flow out of you. You can get filled with the Holy Spirit. And you need all the anointing. I met your son. You need all the anointing you can get. She said, may I? I said, yes, you may. He said, okay. So I said, I'm going to lead you in the prayer and just believe that the moment you pray, you thank Jesus. He's filling you with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And expect you to have a language you never knew. So when anytime this kid of yours is driving you, you know how. I said, anytime that happens, pray in a language you don't know. It will help you. Because you don't know how to pray as you ought sometimes. So she said, okay. So she believed she received it. Well, I expected she would speak real quietly in tongues. She's screaming. And the whole You know, the pilot would say, emergency, emergency, because we landed like in 1 minute after that, because, I mean, saved me a lot of time. I mean, I guarantee you. So we're going off the plane. Johnny Angel's still clinging to me. He's a Klingon. I'm carrying him off. I'd take him home if I could have. And I'm carrying him off the plane, and there's 16 relatives at the airport. They probably figured that's how many they needed. Come on now. So I'm walking off the airport with the mom, but I've got Johnny Angel on my, and they're staring, and she had learned a new word. So she screams across the airport, "It's the anointing, stupid." So, you know. She said, "You got to meet my family. They need the anointing. They need the anointing." So sure enough, she said, "Hey, tell them about the anointing." And they all gathered around. I said, "Yeah, well, you get the anointing by receiving the anointed one." And she said, "See? See what the anointing does?" And he's still like that. So they all prayed to receive Christ. I mean, it was amazing. But it started just as an observation. And my heart going out and thinking, I hope I could help them. So what would happen if we actually had compassion that moved us? Come on. Most of the world, all they're waiting for is genuine compassion. Someone that believes in them, someone that will speak life into them, someone that will honestly show them a better way, someone that will tell them the truth of God's word, which is the most freeing thing there is. So I dare you to declare, and the last thing I dare you to do is I dare you to share. What does that mean? Invest in the gospel. Like I said, we're investing big time in rescuing kids from sex trafficking right now. You know, the ministry that I help support, and I have two ministries. One is building safe houses for the kids that are rescued. And the other ministry, so far, in the last couple of years, has rescued over 600 teenagers from the age of 6 to 16. Many times going into places where the drug cartel controls it, literally risking their lives. You know, and what's really funny is a lot of times I'm giving a lot of money now, and it's not even my money. Because, you know, people's hearts are being, they said, "We want to be involved." They said, and a lot of times they're handing it to me, and I'm just sending it on. Because I told them, I said, "God, I don't have what it takes, but I'm willing to believe you to get it to me. And if you can get it to me, you can get it through me." You know, I think we limit God. Because when you we'll talk about generosity, but generosity changes everything. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It just is. Happy people are giving people, you know. I am a very prosperous man. I'm just not a very materialistic man. There's a difference. We've lived in the same house from our first year of marriage, and we've been married 40 years. When we first got in, none of our friends had houses. It was the nicest house. It was probably the least nice in some ways, but it's paid for. You know, it looks like we'll eventually move into another one that's really nice, but, you know, that's true circumstances God's orchestrating, not through us pursuing stuff. I'm telling you something, people that live their life without impact, what if we really cared? What if we were looking for opportunity, make the most of every opportunity? What if we would be willing to give words God gives us? What if we actually believed Him to give us the right word for the right time? Well, what if we actually could get prophet, be prophetic outside the church? Come on. How many of you tonight, you know, you'd say, "Hey, I want to begin to live with the what if life. I want to go to the next level. I begin to act like God's word is true. I want to make a difference, because honestly, if everyone would win one, it wouldn't be long till the whole earth would be touched. You know, if everyone, guess it, and everyone you win, you know, I keep thinking about all my family members, now their families. So I started a process, and sometimes it's third generational now, where I introduced them, they introduced their kids now, you know, were raised up in it, and they're teaching their other kids. I mean, it just keeps going on and on and on and on. What would happen if we had a righteousness revolution that's based on the love of God? I want every head bowed, no one looking around. I want to pray for people tonight. I want to pray for you to want to be used. You know, if you have a need tonight, God wants to meet your need. Come on. He wants you whole. He wants you healthy. He wants you strong. But he doesn't just want to meet your need. He wants to use you to meet other needs. Come on now. He doesn't want to stop with you. He wants it to start with you. Come on. And I believe God's trying to bring us to a new level of starting. A new level of starting. You know, we've been at this level long enough. We may have used up all the fish at this level. So God, show us the next level. Bring us to the deep for a catch, God. But if you want prayer for God to use you tonight, I want you to come on up. There's going to be an anointing. I have an anointing to win the lost. I have an anointing to cause a movement. And every one of you, you don't have to become spooky with your faith. My son, you know, his whole realm now is influencing influencers. That's the door. His gift has made room for him in a specific tech sector thing, which has been known as ungodly, but now God is raising up people in that sector to take it back over. And because God cares about them all. Come on. My pastor, my pastor's son, you know, from years ago, I mean, it was Paul Daugherty. I was with Billy Joe, was my pastor. Well, he met with the Facebook staff, spent a whole day with them recently, prayed over every one of them. They've invited him back. There may be a planting of a church right there in Mountain View. Come on now. Reaching an unreached people group. Why not? Why not? Why not? Why do we limit? Why do we limit? Why do we limit? I'm asking you, if you want prayer to be a world changer, to change your world. You don't even have to go. You don't have to go across the world, but go across the street. Wherever you go, be the salt and the light. Wherever God leads you. You don't have to reach everyone, but please be aware God wants you to reach someone. Come on. If that's you and you want that, come on up. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you tonight. I believe this is how we're going to have revival. I believe this is how we're going to have church growth. I believe when the church begins to believe and faith works by love, I think many of us are stuck in our faith because we're stuck in our love walk. You know, we've got to care for the lost. Not everyone has the same gift in reaching them. But every one of us is called to do the work of an evangelist. If you've received mercy, you need to show mercy. Come on. We're going to see this thing change. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. Why don't you raise your hands towards heaven? Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him that you're going to begin to go to new realms. That God, if you show us anyone, we'll do what you tell us to do. God, give us the love for the people that we're supposed to reach. Give us a special compassion, a compassion that moves us, God. Father, I'm asking you, touch our family members, touch those around us, touch our neighbors. God, even touch our enemies. Some people that hated me for years are my closest friends now. They attacked our ministry, and God said, bless them. I didn't want to bless them. I want to call fire down. God said, bless them. Guess what? They got convicted because of the goodness. Come on. Something's beginning to happen right now. The anointing's beginning to happen right now. There it is. See, I found out something. We get happy when we start sharing the gospel. It's a happy place. Come on now. Whew. When we have good news, God says, I'm going to restore the joy of your salvation. Then you'll teach sinners the way. Come on. Whew. I found out something. You know, when our party's better than their party, they're going to come to our party. Come on now. And that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a celebration station. This is a new season. Their people are assigned to you. God said, I'm going to show you those assigned to you. And I'm going to give you a place of influence in their life. What I found out is people are drawn to our light when we're shining the light that God, literally, God gives us a light that they're assigned to. And as soon as they see it, they come to it. Why? Because our light's going to affect their light and release their light. Come on now. There's a fresh anointing. There's a move of God. Some of you right now, you're going to catch a healing. And more than that, you're catching the anointing of God like never before. Get ready for churches to begin filled to overflowing. Filled to overflowing. Filled to overflowing. And guess what? Your reason is going to be filled to overflowing is we're going to be going, and when we're not going to be going in terms of doing a religious thing. But we're going to be going, and when God's going to show us who to reach out to. And when he shows us, we're either going to plant the seed or we're going to harvest. Sometimes I'm watering. Sometimes I'm harvesting. But all I know is God's about ready to release this thing like never before. There's a fresh anointing. There's a healing virtue. God's going to strengthen us for the harvest. He's going to strengthen us for the harvest. Things he showed many of us years ago, now it's time, now it's time, now it's time, now it's time to make a difference. It's not about us anymore. It's not about us. You know, some of us, we know we're in the last chapters. You know, we've lived. But now we're going to give life to another generation. Come on now. And we're going to begin to give hope to people who are like we were when we got rescued. Come on now. You don't have to be religious. If you're religious, you're going to scare people. But get real. Get real. Get real. Because God's going to begin to stir it. He began a good work. He's going to complete that good work. You're going to have so much fun, it's ridiculous. You might as well enjoy yourself, girl. I found out, as we enjoy ourselves, people are drawn to that joy. They're drawn. And God is healing. He's revealing. He's a God that's beginning to put things back together in the name of Jesus. And part of us getting healed is us reaching out to others. That's what I've learned. I tell people, I don't have it all together. But as I reach out, it seems like when I'm reaching out to others, it does a lot of things for me. Come on. And that's what God's doing. It's a new season. It's a new chapter. And it's a faith chapter because he's the author and finisher of faith. Come on now. God said, hey, I'm going to be with you every step of the way, and I'm going to use you. And you're going to have so much fun, it's ridiculous. Some of us, he's going to turn our morning into dancing. Come on now. Man, we've gone through the morning stage. Let's go through the dancing stage. Come on now. Some of us, we're going to get our dance back. Some of us physically going to get our dance back. Some of us, you know, in the insides getting our dance back. But our youth is renewed like the eagles. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Childlike faith. Childlike faith. Woo! Childlike. That's where the miracles come. Childlike faith. doctors said it was impossible, but childlike faith. I love it when God shows up. And he uses us right where we are, you know? And he takes you to the next thing. And that's what he's doing, just igniting you. Where you can make a difference in this world. That's all you care about. Letting that light shine. You shine that. You brighten every place you go. You know that? That big smile. I like that. Woo! That's contagious. Yeah. That's the God on the inside. Just that's a good thing. And he's anointing you. And you're learning so much. This is a whole new season. Many of us, he's releasing us, getting us ready to the next level. We've been through the fire. We've been through the flood. Why don't we go ahead and get to the wealthy place? Come on now. Why don't we get to the place where all of a sudden, I believe many of us, we've been training, and now we're finally in the game. Come on now. You know, sometimes it takes a long time, but then suddenly things begin to work. Suddenly things begin to come together. Many of us, we're going to get our suddenly moment, our suddenly moment, our suddenly moment. Suddenly suddenly the darkness is finally, of the circumstance is gone. Suddenly. Get ready for your suddenly. Everyone else has ruled, now God will rule. You know, Psalm 75, God is the judge. He puts down one, lifts up another. See, there are judges on the earth, but there's one judge. And he'll begin to influence it, you know, who he needs to influence to get things done. And I'm believing that. And this is a season of freedom. And you just keep reaching the people. You keep touching people. Because as you do that, it just ministers to you. See, that's the key. I tell you, people say, I really very rarely fight depression because I don't have time for it. It's not that I probably wouldn't have it. It's just I'm going from thing to thing. I have to lift people. So in the moment something tries to get on me, I have to throw it off for other people's sake. And guess what? That's such a big blessing in my life because that's what he does. He gets our eyes off of us, and he begins to use us. And God's just restoring things in your life, and he's giving you so much. And you're not the same person. You know you're not. You've stepped out of a lot of things. Now you're starting to step into some stuff. God takes us out to take us in. Sometimes it's so wonderful when we got taken out, but it's even better when we get taken in. Come on now. Because there's a promised land. There's things where God wants you to possess, and you're going to see that. And there are people God's going to have you touch. And because you have a servant heart, you're going to be able to do it. You know, we're sons and daughters who serve. You know, that's all I want to do. I don't want to be some ruler. I want to be a servant ruler in a sense, one that reigns, but I'm reigning for the good of others. Come on now. And that healing power is flowing. That anointing is flowing. And everywhere you go, you let your light shine. You've proved doctors wrong over and over and over and over and over again. You've had to prove God's word. And you've watched it work. And now it's like this is our season where we're going to see the revival. We're going to see what God's promised. And both in the spiritual and even in the natural things which he's promised. Get ready. Get ready. Loved ones are coming in. Get ready. Come on now. Things are about ready to change. Get ready. Some of you right now, get ready. 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 Just get ready. Be ready to share. Be ready. Expect even tomorrow for God to give you an opportunity. Where I'm gonna pray one thing. Is this okay tonight? I'm gonna pray that God will make it so easy you can't miss the opportunity. I used to do that with my kids. My kids, you know, when the teenagers, they say, well, I get, I'm just afraid. I said, I'm going to make it so easy. I'm going to pray God that they're going to ask a leading question where you won't even feel like you're pushing. And I don't know how many times it's just happened that way. Because, God will work on the hearts of people if we're willing to give them the answer. Come on. I don't know how many times I have a fish jump in the boat before I even hook them. I said, come on, I didn't even have to put any bait out. They actually just, ha, you know. I said, I guess it means an altar call. You know. I mean, last thing, when we were in St. Louis, Missouri, I was in the middle of preaching, and the pastor looked, and he said, do you know those people? And there were 25 walk in. I said, I don't know who they were. And I've had people walk in to disrupt the service, so I wasn't sure. And right while I'm preaching, they come forward. And I'm kind of bracing, like, okay, are these like Mormons or somebody, you know, trying to disrupt? Because sometimes they'll come in and they looked and they said, we need to be saved. I hadn't gotten that point in the message. I said, why? They said, we were in the bar across the street last night. And he said, an angel came in. And he said, we saw him, all of us. And he said, you need to go across the street tomorrow and get saved. Wow. So he said, we don't know what saved means, but we got to get it. I said, yeah, you got to get saved. So I led him in the prayer. I said, I'll explain it later, but let me at least lead you in the prayer. You can receive Christ, and then you'll find out what you got. And when they prayed, you know, it's like they could feel something different. And, you know, there was 25 people. 19 are still in the church today. And basically, they had an angel who didn't preach the gospel, but led them. And I said, well, God, that's, hey, bring them in, Lord. Angels, go get them, go get them, go get them, go get them. Tell them to go to Woody's meeting because I like it that way. I like it when they actually come up and they don't have a clue and they want to get saved. Well, that's enough. Thank you.